Well, we've been having a busy weekend here, folks. We had some good folks come down from Alabama. We baptized them. Brother John Knowles and Craig Matthews and Jeff Brown and Ron Hunter, they came and we baptized these brothers and prayed over them to be received the Holy Spirit. And John Knowles came with them because he's already got those things. And we had a real good time of fellowship with that. And also, we've got some brethren here from our UBM ministry in Utah. Michael Weber and Kevin Ray and Philip Sapp are joining us today in-house here. And I'm just going to see if maybe some of them want to share a testimony with us and maybe tell us just a little bit about what they do in the ministry, what their ministry work is. Okay. Michael looks ready.
Well, God bless everyone out there. I just feel so blessed to be able to come here and just be a part of the study here tonight and most of all, just to be a part of the ministry, just getting God's word out. You know, it's not really about it's not really about men. It's not about denominations or religions. I mean, those things are all, you know, things that lead us astray anyway. It's really all about the word of God. It's about getting the true gospel out, and that's why several years ago, shortly after September 11th, 2001, the Lord really brought me, started bringing me to the truth, and I'm just thankful that, you know, through that He put in me a desire for the truth. He put in me a desire just to seek Him. Right after that, I just started really getting into the Word, and that's all I wanted to do was just read that Word. I started from the Book of Genesis and just moved right on through. The Lord really showed me a lot of things in the Old Testament about the types and shadows, about what it really meant to be a sinner. It laid out pretty clearly what you were to do about people that were sinning at that time, and then just seeing the grace that came in the New Testament and God's plan just from the very beginning. Well, anyway, the Lord led me to America's Last Days, the website, and of course, I started reading that, and I started emailing David a lot, asking him all kinds of questions, and I'm sure he got, I was wondering, well, does this guy can ever get it, And I'm sure there's some things that I'm still, the Lord's, showing me and working in me, but anyway, I'm just thankful to be a part, like I said, a part of a ministry that is really, their intention is just to get the Word of God out, and not to elevate any man, not to proclaim anything else, so... And with that being said, I got involved in, at first, editing DVDs. We had the conference videos when David went out and spoke around the country. I took those videos, and we had them edited and put into a five-set DVD, five DVDs that we distributed, and of course we distribute those to for free to anyone that just requests them, no strings attached, just like the Word says. So, and anyway, I got involved in that, and I also take the DVDs and edited them, and then I duplicated them, printed a label on them, and we ship them out. And then, of course, now it's evolved to much brighter people than myself getting involved in the editing process. And now, the videos are really looking good. Of course, it's not about appearance; it's about the content. But getting them down and getting the the editing process and all those things fine-tuned really helps to present something out there that people can follow. It helps them, just to. To follow along with the Word and what's being taught. And so, again, I'm just thankful now that I'm actually more in the duplication part of it than the editing part. I take now the finished product, and then just I have a couple duplicators at home and a couple of printers, and I just duplicate and print them and send them out. And so, anyway, that's what I do basically in the ministry. And again, I'm just thankful to be a part of that. Well, what I wanted to share tonight was actually a a testimony that I have involving selling my house and paying off debt. I, for some time, have been convicted that that I really needed to be out of debt. I think I'd always had a problem, which I know a lot of Americans had this problem, but being, kind of materialistic and being worldly, collecting things, and a lot of us, the way we do that is we go into debt. You know, we go and take out a loan, we go out, and we borrow that money, which, of course, is against the Word of God. I mean, we're not supposed to, suretyship, we're not supposed to owe anyone anything. We're supposed to just, rely on the Lord and take the money that, He's given us. And if it's something that we are led to get, then we get it. We're led by the Spirit, but we're not, to go into debt. And I knew that, and is actually, a couple, maybe 2-3 years ago, maybe even longer, when I had heard, David speaking about that and also read it in the Word, and I knew, I was convicted, well, I need to get out of debt. I need to, sell my home. But, I also had, my wife was a little bit hesitant about that because, she, really liked being in a home and having that, that ownership, that coming, that comes with a home. You have that kind of, sense of, accomplishment, like you have your own house, own place. And again, I know the Lord can provide that too. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have a home. I'm not saying that. I just, you shouldn't be in debt on it. At least I understand that now. And so, I started praying to the Lord. I said, well, Lord, if, you want me to sell my house, if that's, and I know your word, is true, and you want us to be obedient to your word. So, just put it in my wife's heart as well, just to sell the house, that we would just desire to get sell the house, pay off our debts, and so I've been praying that for some time, and finally about 6 months ago, my wife comes up to me and says, "Well, I think it'd be a good idea to sell the house," and I was like, "Well, okay, well, that sounded good to me," and I'd been led for some time that direction, so we put our house up for sale. And of course, we were looking at all the news reports, and every time I turn on the news, it'd say something about the housing market, and it was falling, and these interest-only loans were really killing the market. Mortgage companies were really taking big hits, and now they were very careful about who they were lending to, and all this kind of thing. And so the enemy was trying to come in with a bad report and say, "Oh, you can't sell your house. You're not going to be able to get anything out of it. And even if you do sell it, you won't be able to pay off your debts. You won't be able to, get much for it." And so, well, we just kept pressing forward. And I'd say it was a trial of my faith, because there were times when I was like, really anxious, and I was wondering, "Well, Lord, is it going to sell? Are we going to be able to get a good price for it?" And so, we put it up on the market, and it was probably about a week and a half, and that was probably about the longest week and a half of my life. I was thinking, "Well, Lord, And of course, and He was working patience in me, because I know I've had a problem with patience. I've always wanted things like right away, want it to happen now. And we put it out a few days, and no one even came to look at it. And I think it was probably about 4 or 5 days we had our first person to come look at the house. And of course, they weren't interested and didn't leave any. Notes with us or anything about that they wanted to buy it. So we were going, "Okay, well, Lord, when is it going to happen?" And about a week and a half later, we finally got someone that was interested in the house. And, he came along and offered actually more than what our house was even asking for it. And we were like, "Well, Lord, what's going on here?" It was like $5,000 more than what we were asking for this, to sell it for. And it turned out that we went through the process probably about a week, week and a half. We had to take the house, of course, off the market. And it ended up falling through. The guy, the realtor was just somebody that didn't follow up with this other, the person buying the house, didn't follow up on any of the dates we had set for. You have certain dates that you have to meet as far as like the inspection of the house, the appraisal, all these different things. They didn't meet those first dates, and so the guy comes back and says, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to back out," because he was, nothing was working out for him. So the house went back up on the market, and we're going, "Well, Lord, that's..." And so by this time, it's about a month, almost close to a month since we first wanted to sell the house, and we're really getting concerned because, of course, the news was even getting more and more reports about the housing market and discouraging news, and we're thinking, okay, well, anyway, the house went back on the market, and again, it was about a week and a half, and finally, the Lord brought these people along. They had, of course, and they were in the world, so they were purchasing this on credit, but they had perfect credit. They purchased the house for we got our asking price for it. We got exactly the money that we put down, and even we went out and we started looking for a house to rent because we didn't want to go out and get right back. We didn't want to take a loan out, of course. So we asked the Lord, okay, well, Lord, just open up whatever you want us to do, and we have a house that we came open for rent. It's actually bigger than the house that we're in now for less money, and we needed a little bit bigger place because I'm setting up all my duplication equipment and everything in this extra bedroom that we're going to have now. So it was really a blessing. I mean, just the way the Lord worked it out, and of course, when you're selling your house, you can't you've got to go out and get into another place, and you've got to time it because you're supposed to, and when you sell your house, you've got to be out by a certain date. And if you're not out by the certain date, then what are you going to do if you don't, especially when you don't have any family? I mean, we don't have any really family in Utah. Well, we have Philip and Kevin here and their family, of course, but we've got a pretty large family. I mean, a fairly large family. We've got our things, and of course they don't, there's not enough room to store everything. So we're like, okay, well, Lord, we've got to time. This has to be timed right, and so we just trust in you. And he brought along this place, and he actually had them. It ended up opening up a little bit earlier, so that we could actually move our stuff over and be out of the house completely by the date of the close of the loan. So anyway, I just thank the Lord that he, not only did he put it in my heart and showed me the truth about getting out of debt, but also put it in my wife's heart to see that as well, so that we were in unity and we, could sell our house. And I think it's just so important these days to be out of debt, because I think with what's coming upon us, and I know we've talked about, having debtor's prison and other things. And it's really, it's not even about that. It's what it's about is just being obedient to the Word. If you're obedient to the Word, then you're going to be taken care of. And so that's why the Lord, I know, moved in my heart and also in my wife's heart to get that done. And so again, I just give him praise and thanks for that, because that's now has been just a real blessing and a weight off of my shoulders. So anyway, thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'll go along with that. Brother Kevin Ray has got the mic in his hand, so I guess he's going to do something with it, huh?
Thanks,
Tell
Mike.
Him a little bit about what you do for us there.
Okay, I'll try to follow pattern Michael set up here. And, first of all, I just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here, get us here safely. So we had some delays in getting here, but the Lord used that to help stretch our patience. So he came through all the time, so I just want to thank the Lord for that. Well, been doing the video work since about August of last year, and the way the Lord orchestrated this is phenomenal. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but just to mention that, looking back, even back in my background in computer engineering and so forth, my wife was also a computer scientist, and that was what we did in the world. And we can see the Lord's hand in that, because those skills are being utilized right now in video editing and review and so forth. So,
amen.
It's just amazing that be able to use these skills that the Lord gave us to help the kingdom, and we're really blessed by that. It's really, I can't describe in words how the Lord's just an awesome orchestrator. So, but at any rate, the Lord orchestrated this thing in Utah very amazingly. My wife and I were living in New Mexico. The Lord told us to go out there. While out there in the middle of the desert, I said, Lord, why am I out here? And I kind of, it's a rhetorical question I kind of asked the Lord with, and I opened my Bible up and pointed my finger down and said, go into the desert and learn how to rest a while. So I was like, okay, what's that rest thing? So around that same time frame, the Lord was bringing my wife and I into the revelation of the true Sabbath rest, having come out of the Catholic Church and as newborn babies. The fellow that helped us in, a lot of people that helped us in, had some different doctrines that we kind of received. So the Lord was working on delivering us from that. But at any rate, while in New Mexico, we found out about the Unleavened Bread Ministry back in 2005. And it's something when you hear the word, it's just something you know in the spirit. You just kind of, there's a witness in the spirit, and it's just something that just is invigorating about it. It doesn't get old listening to it. We have listened to many of the Bible studies from UVM, and they just never get old. You're always gleaning some kind of jewel out of it. So we knew that this is where the Lord wanted us to be, and there had been a word of knowledge 3 years prior to that, that we would come into a series of revelations, and also the Lord warned us that there would be churches that would try to get us off track. So it's just really neat to see the word of knowledge come to pass. And so, at any rate, so we started really listening to the Unleavened Bread Ministries. And David's mentioned many times how the Lord works and you to do of His good will and pleasure. And that's exactly what He did in me. And I didn't even know He was doing it at the time. I just started doing the videos, and I didn't even know why. But it's just something you put into me. And so, on the Unleavened Bread Ministries, we met Brother Greg Maranto online, and he mentioned that there were two other guys in Utah, Michael and Philip, of course. And so around July of last year, we decided to make a trip up for the 4th of July and visit Greg and Michael and Philip. So we went up there. Of course, we had just a blessed time. It was very anointed, very very good, productive time together. And as we were driving back from Utah to New Mexico, I asked the Lord, I said, do you want us to move to Utah? And the reason I asked that was because about a few months prior to that, we had come down here to Florida and visited the brethren here in Pensacola, and I had a feeling that the Lord was going to move us. And so I thought at first, we thought it might be to Pensacola. And it was Utah, in fact. And so now I know why. It was really to work on these videos together in a productive way. So at any rate, as we're driving back to Utah, I asked the Lord, well, I said, Lord, you're going to have to just confirm this. Just give me multiple confirmations and so forth. And so he did. And we were there. We moved to Utah within 3 weeks. And that was a feat. So. And another amazing thing was the Lord opened up an apartment right next to Philip Sapp, which was being actually looked at by other people. So it was a true miracle how the Lord just set that up. So now Philip and I have a home network, and we're able to transfer files and do the video editing and finish that process out. And so basically my job at this point is I receive the DVDs from the recordings of the UBBS videos. And we basically edit them, and we put intros and outros. We also place scriptures in there and produce it, basically a finished product of DVDs. And then Philip can talk a little bit about what he does, but what he does is take what I finish and to convert it into different formats, NTSC and PAL, for different places around the world, so that people will be able to receive these DVDs in any format. So that's kind of what we do at this point. So, Lord willing, if there's anything else He wants us to do, utilizing the skills that the Lord's given us, we will do so. So it's a real blessing. So that's kind of what I do. And also I must mention that my wife, Holly, listening, she also edits. Actually, she reviews the studies after I make the initial first pass edits. And so as a code inspector, you know, she's very picky. So she can pick up things and little mistakes here and there. So it's a real blessing. The Lord just set up this whole process, and it's working real well. So Amen. That's kind of what we do with the ministry. Just got a couple quick testimonies. The first kind of gleans off of a testimony from Brother Bob. As some of you know, remember the testimony of Brother Bob with his the mole crickets. Is that the correct? Okay, mole crickets marching across his lawn and destroying his lawn there. And basically Bob just cursed them, I guess, and said either die or go leave, and that's what happened. They died, if I remember right. So, well, recently in Utah, we're coming into spring. We had some ants start to come in our apartment. We noticed that and looked at all these ants, and we started stepping on them and killing them and trying to figure out where they were coming from. And so the first one thought came into my mind. Well, I got some insecticide in there. I got some ant killer in the closet. And then immediately after that, the thought came in my mind, well, why don't you just do what Brother Bob did and pray and let me take care of that. So we did that, and we prayed, and we said, you know, either you die, curse, or leave, or something. And so the next day, we wake up and continue to confess the good report throughout the rest of that day. We come in, and I see a couple ants there, and I said, no, that's not what we prayed. And I just rebuked that, and I went in the bathroom. I came back. I couldn't find any ants anymore. So praise the Lord. It's just amazing how he does that. So, and another major testimony tonight is what happened last night in meeting over at Brother Bob's house. We all got together, and I asked for prayer for my eyes to be healed. I've worn glasses since about age 13. Combination of glasses or contacts. And so, just a little prior history to that. My wife also has been wearing glasses and contacts for many years and has had many eye surgeries on her eyes. And so this is something that we've been praying for the Lord to put faith in us, because we know the Lord's already done this at the cross. And so we asked the Lord basically to give us some sort of, you know, sign to step out. And my wife, her glasses broke about a couple of weeks ago, her frames. And so we asked Philip maybe if he could fix the frames. And so Philip attempted to fix the frame, but he prayed, Lord, if this is your will, it'll work, and, you know, your will be done. And so he tried to cement Holly's frame back together, and it worked pretty good. She sat it on the shelf, didn't touch it, said, wait to put the lenses in, and she came the next day, whatever, and it just popped off. So we took that as a sign that the Lord really wanted us to step out in faith, you know. And as some of you know, I mean, sight's it can be a big step of faith for some people, and it was for us. And so we knew that we needed the faith in us. We knew that God's already completed it at the cross. And so last night I prayed over my eyes, and I have to say that I'm healed. And I just praise the Lord for that. And I hope that's a blessing to some of you out there that are wanting to step out in that area, that God's already done it at the cross. So I just want to praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Hey, Philip, you want to share something?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Praise God.
Lord bless everybody. Lord bless everybody out there. It's really a blessing to be out here and to be with the brethren. And it's a blessing to be in the study with you guys tonight. And the Lord's blessed me with an opportunity to help out with the ministry with helping out with the music for the ministry, and I when I was in the world, I played a lot of rock music, and when I came to the Lord, he gave me, basically, he said, do you, basically what had happened, music had become my God, and I was, I loved music more than I did him, and so I gave that to him, and so I'm just blessed that after I gave it to him, after a couple of years, that he sent a brother to my door and said, the Lord told me to give you this, and it was a guitar, after I'd already sold all my equipment, and truly had that out of my heart. So it's really a blessing to be able to worship the Lord. And my wife, Sila, she plays the flute, and I play guitar, and We actually, I know we don't have any of our music on the site yet, but we actually do worship, and the Lord gives us songs, and but it seems like every time we get down to record, it's just a totally different thing. And so I just ask for the prayers of the brethren for that, that we would have something that from us. And but I know that the Lord, all the musicians that we have on the site that we use here, the Lord has really opened those doors up. And I mean, we had some copyright laws that came out a while back that you know, if you didn't have permission to play certain kind of music, you know, you could get into lawsuits, etc. And so, you know, when we're doing things for the Lord, you know, we need to be as tight with the laws of the land as possible, so we don't give the enemy any kind of foothold, any kind of way in at all. And so all these brothers and sisters that we're using their music right now, you know, we have their permission to do that. You know, I correspond with them, and so it's really a blessing to have. And these people freely give their music. They have that understanding of you know, that their gift is from the Lord. And I think a couple of them, they may have somewhere you can put a donation or something like that for what they do. But they really have their first and foremost is to be obedient to the Lord. And they're not trying to make merchandise of God's gifts. And so I just encourage all the brothers and sisters out there to pray for these, pray for the musicians that have, you know, blessed us with their music. You know, maybe they have places on their web addresses. Maybe you could send them an encouraging email, just how the music's blessed you. There's lots of people that write in and how the music really has blessed them. And so that's very encouraging. And I know that they would be encouraged by that as well. And so just appreciate your prayers on all that. And it has been a blessed trip, the way the Lord orchestrated us to be able to come out here. And I had some dreams about my cousin. And so I want to admonish all the brothers and sisters out there, if you're having dreams about your family members, maybe that you haven't talked to in a while, you know, the Lord is ramping up where, you know, judgment's about to start hitting pretty soon. And we all have lost loved ones that we pray for. And so if you have dreams or visions of your loved ones and the Lord's telling you to go and give them a word, you know, really, if it's the Lord, He'll open it up. So I just encourage you, the brethren, to stay sharp and to intensely pray to be led by the Spirit and on those things. I do have a quick testimony that I'd like to share as well. I mean, there's really so many different things I thought about sharing, and there's so many. Anyway, I just feel strong about this. I feel like that there could be some spirits of fear getting on people, or worry about the times that we've got coming ahead. And so I just want to encourage you with what the Lord's done for me the past year. And I didn't even realize this until I did my taxes this year. Well, my wife works in the home, and I just have a kind of a simple job, and we don't own a home. We rent our home. But anyway, to make a long story short, this may be a lot of money to some people, or not a lot to it's. But when I think of everything that our bills and everything, it's really not a lot of money. But I only have the one job. I don't work for myself or have side jobs or anything like that where I work at in Utah. And when we did our taxes this year, I got our W-2s back and everything, and it shows me that I made $20,000 in change. And so my wife and I, we started adding our bills up. And we have three children. Well, we have two children. We have one on the way. And so I'll just ask for prayers for our third child to be due in August. And if Eliyahu's out there listening, I just want to encourage you, brother, that your testimony's really, really blessed me and encouraged me and my wife. And so we're believing God for a lot of the same things that He's done for y'all, because if He did it for y'all, He's going to do it for us. And so we're just want to thank you for that step of faith that you had out there, Eliyahu, and you and your family, and how your testimony, we're really drawing a lot of strength from that testimony, and just want to bless you for that. And so we have two children and one on the way, And so we made like $20,000 in change. Well, me and my wife added up all of our bills, and I mean, this is the Lord. I mean, we should, if you look in the world's mathematics and the world's eyes, we should be out on the streets, because we would not have enough money to pay our rent, to pay our bills, to pay food, to pay for, we're short about $15,000 to even live and do everything that we did, paying our bills that we have. And God miraculously, everything that He gave us, He made it stretch. We never did without. We had all of our needs met, and we had some things that we wanted too. And so, you know, God's so merciful and graceful that, I'm blessed by that, because my works, I cannot take any credit for taking care of my own family. And so I just want to bless the Lord for that and encourage all the brothers out there who you see the bottom, when you're reading your bills and you're doing all the bills and you're looking at the bottom line, that when you're in the rest of God and you're totally putting your trust in Him, He's not gonna fail you. He's gonna come through, and He's not gonna fail. There's just no way. And so I'm encouraged, because I know that when we go into these times ahead, when we can't buy and sell, you know, God's already shown me and other brethren. We have lots of testimonies on the website where, you know, He miraculously provides. And so I just want to encourage all the brethren to, when those spirits of fear come on you, just renounce them in Jesus' name, and just kick that devil in the head when those things come around, because that's just a lying devil. We're not under that curse, in Jesus' name. That was done away at the cross. He met our needs at the cross. I mean, He paid our debts at the cross. And so, like I said, me and my family, we should be on the streets. You know, we should have been on welfare. I mean, we, in the world's eyes, we should not even be where we're at. And we didn't even realize it, what the Lord had done for us until we did our taxes and figured up our bills. And so it came out to about $15,000. How God just multiplied things and made things stretch. I have no idea how He did it. I don't have to know. I just know that God's faithful in all things. And so just be encouraged. Anything that you're hanging on to that's keeping you from walking fully in the kingdom of God, just let it go. Let it go while you can still hear this voice say, let it go. And just grab on to Jesus with all you have. And I just want to encourage all you out there in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Philip. Very good. Praise God. And I believe that John Knowles is standing by up in Alabama. And John is also a part of UBM ministry up there in Alabama, and he does something similar to what Kevin does in making the panoramic videos for our TV programs coming up, and maybe he'll share a little bit of that with you. And also, I think he has a brother there that he's going to introduce to share testimony too. Am I right?
Greetings, brothers and sisters, and everybody there at UBM. Thank you for giving me this chance to speak and share with you. Unfortunately, no, Brother Craig is not here to share, but I'll go ahead and share part of that testimony, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. I first just wanted to give you a little bit of background about how I got involved and what the Lord has done in my life through this ministry. I got saved way back in 1980. I came to faith actually on my birthday. In the shower, as the water ran over my head, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus a long time ago, 1980. And I spent the next 22 years or so in the church, you know, and growing a little bit here and there. But I didn't really have a gift to understand the scriptures, you know. I didn't really read and study the Word of God like I should have. And I had limited growth those years. But in about 2002, 2003, the Lord really began to wake me up and to show me that I was lukewarm at best. And I wasn't really a disciple. I was just kind of a follower, and I had just kind of grabbed his name, and I wasn't really pursuing him the way that we need to pursue the Lord. And I really began to turn my heart toward the Lord at that point. And, you know, the Lord led me through various, quote-unquote coincidences, to meet a brother named Keith, who's also here in Birmingham. And Keith began to share some truth with me and be my brother. And we began to watch some of Brother David's videos way back when he did some Prophecy Club stuff. And it was the Hidden Manna, things like that. And I tell you, something really happened to me. I really began to grow, and I really began to read the Word of God and take it at face value instead of reading it and then justifying, you know, how I was living and just hoping the Lord would be forgiving of me. I began to read the Word of God and understand that the Lord expected me to be a disciple. And there are certain things that He requires of disciples, you know. And one of the main ones is to, if you're going to follow Him, to carry your cross, which is, you know, you hang your flesh on that cross. And the true Word of God will crucify the flesh, the old life. And that's one of the most incredible revelations. And I know for some of y'all that's real basic, but I had kind of bought into a lie that the Lord died to forgive me of my sin, but I didn't understand that He also died to break the power of sin over me, that I would no longer obey the lust of my flesh, that I could walk in holiness, real holiness, you know, and please the Father. And it was a lot more than just forgiveness. And so I began to really grow in the Lord, finally. After 22 years of knowing the Lord, He woke me up, and I began to grow in the Lord. And to me, that's how you confirm if you're really getting the Word of God. You know, if you sit in a church for years and years, and you see people not growing spiritually, and you see them still with dissension and arguing and you know, vying for position in the church and all that stuff, and justifying their sin, then they're really not feeding on the true Word of God, because the true Word is the seed that's implanted into your heart. And if it's Jesus Christ, the true Word of God, then His character will be manifest in your life. So, you know, I just began to see growth. I began to get excited about really beginning to see the Lord in the mirror, so to speak. And the Lord began to confirm that this Unlimited Bread Ministries was definitely, you know, helping me grow in the Lord. And not only that, as I got to know Brother David and some of the other people involved in the ministry, I noticed the same spirit and the same growth. As a matter of fact, the brothers that shared earlier from Utah, we got to hang out with them the other day for quite a while. And we had such unity in our fellowship, and it's unlike anything else I've experienced in fellowship, where everyone, there was a love between the brothers, and everyone shared openly, and it was fluid, you know, it was very harmonious. And it's because that we've been feeding on the true Word of God, you know, and that Word will begin to just manifest Jesus Christ in your life. And through some prayer and things like that, you know, I had been working on some drawings and artwork a couple of years ago based on the things I was learning from Brother Dave's ministry. And my brother Keith said, you know, you ought to send that to Dave and see if he can use it. And I almost did, but I felt the Lord impress me, and just I prayed a prayer and said, Lord, if you want me to be involved, have Brother David call me. And I had sent him my phone number about a year earlier, and had not been regularly corresponding with Dave. But sure enough, about 2 weeks later, I got a call out of the blue, and it was David Eales. And I just almost jumped out of my skin, you know, because I knew it was the Lord. And Dave said, yeah, the Lord put you on my heart, you know. And so that's how the Lord confirmed to me that He Himself had called me to do this work with this ministry. And let me tell you, what an incredible blessing to know that the Lord is the author of this, and that He has allowed me to have a little part, you know. And I'm working on the panoramic videos, as Brother David said, that just have, you know, it's music with beautiful scenery in the background over some really strong biblical teaching. And it's very powerful. You know, it's a blessing to watch these. It's very peaceful, but very stirring in your soul. And so that's, you know, basically who I am and what I'm doing. And I just wanted to add that, you know, those 22 years in the church system, I really never made disciples. You know, I witnessed to people, but my witness was tainted because I wasn't living the life like I was supposed to. And I would share about my faith in the Lord, but people could easily see that I really wasn't, you know, living it like I should, and I was being rather hypocritical. But I can give this testimony without a doubt that the Lord has allowed me and my brother Keith to begin to make disciples. And that's what's exciting, because the Lord said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of the nations. And you have to be a disciple before you can make a disciple. That's why I couldn't really be involved in disciple making for those 22 years. But praise God, I began to be a disciple, and as the Lord began to really establish me, He allowed me, as I believe just a complete privilege, to meet some younger brothers and to encourage them in the Word. And they didn't fall away. They got excited just like I did. And praise God, three of them came down to Pensacola yesterday, as a matter of fact, and they were baptized in water, and they received the Holy Spirit, and it was just a joyous, awesome time in the Lord. And it's just a testimony to the true Word of God. When it comes into your life, it changes you. You know, you can't stay the same. If you really receive the Word of God and mix it with faith, and you cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit, it changes your life. You know, it's different than just accepting the truth of Jesus, but not allowing Him to manifest His life in you. What an incredible freedom to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not easy all the time. I mean, you know, He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But to cooperate in the crucifixion of the old man, it can be painful. But it's so worth it. It is so worth it. And I just wanted to say also that, I don't know if it's been mentioned before, but Brother Dave's site, americaslastdaves.com, Sovereign God and Hidden Manna books are free to be read as e-books. And I just wanted to make a testimony on those books, because I would never replace my personal Bible study with a book written by anybody. But let me tell you something. These books have just absolutely revolutionized my personal Bible study. As I read Sovereign God, it encouraged me to study the Bible more for myself. And as I read Hidden Manna, my eyes were opened to some of the types and shadows of Scripture, so that when I read the Bible on my own, that I had a lot more understanding, you know. It's almost like a training manual to teach you how to study the Bible. It does not replace Bible study. But let me tell you something, it's a great addition to your Bible study, and it's packed full of life-changing revelations. There's a reason why God ordains teachers in the fivefold ministry. We need the ministry of ordained teachers. And I'll tell you, there's not a whole lot of them that I've seen in the church world. I've spent many years reading book after book, you know, and most of them were just fluff. But I just encourage any of you that haven't read these books, avail yourself of this incredible opportunity to do that. And I'm not being a commercial for the books, because they're free. Absolutely incredible, changed my life. And the testimony I wanted to share, my brother Craig was going to be here, and he shared this with me. There's only a few of us that I know of here in Birmingham that are aware of this ministry and that have been partaking of it. And my brother Craig works at a beauty salon. He's a barber, and he's been witnessing there, as he always does. And there was a lady that was obviously seeking the Lord, and Craig felt led of God to give her his well-worn Sovereign God that he cherishes and values. And he obeyed the Lord, and he gave her his only copy of Sovereign God, and kind of shared testimony of how it's changed his life. He used to be a hardcore rap artist here in Birmingham, and he used to be involved in street life and in the thug life. And since he gave his life to the Lord about a year ago, he's had a radical transformation. And so this woman took the book, and within 24 hours, the next day, she was looking for lamb chops, of all things, and she went to one of the local grocery stores here, and they didn't have any, so she went down the street to Publix, and as she went in there, she was stopped by a gentleman who works there, and they got in a conversation. Well, lo and behold, he's one of my other brothers named Jeff, and he began to share with her that she should read Sovereign God. So what's really great about that is there's only a few of us here in Birmingham, and in basically within 24 hours, the Lord made sure he put this book in her hand, and then he made sure that she got a confirmation from somebody completely different here in Birmingham. And that's just how the Lord will do this. He will confirm his truth, and he will confirm his direction to those that are really seeking truth and that love the truth. They won't be deceived if they really love the truth. If you're seeking to justify your lifestyle in the old life, then, you know, there's no guarantee that you won't be deceived. But I tell you, if you're really seeking the truth and you're really seeking the Lord, he won't let you be deceived. He will lead you to the waters, you know, to the water of life, to the bread of life. And it's just an incredible, incredible thing to watch the Lord sovereignly lead people. And I just wanted to say the last thing that, these brothers also received the Holy Spirit, and many people think that you get everything when you come into faith, but I'm here to tell you, there's a completely different blessing when you ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit and to baptize you with His Spirit. It's necessary, folks, because the times that we're entering into, we need to be equipped, we need to be empowered for service. And, you know, there's nothing to fear, as Brother Phillips said, about going into these times. There's nothing to fear. There's everything to gain. There's a lot of fruit to bear. And I believe that that's what this ministry is about, is equipping the saints for the days to come. And so that's all I really wanted to share. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you guys. I know a lot of you in here that are on Pal Talk, and I love you all. And I'm just excited to see what the Lord's doing. And as the Lord leads, please pray for me. We have a lot of work to get done in kind of a rather short time. And, you know, just ask the Lord to undergird us and to protect us, to give us discernment, and to keep us busy. So God bless you all in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, John. God bless you. John's also doing the sketches for Hidden Manna for the End Times. Each chapter is going to have a sketch at the beginning of it, a kind of caricature of something that represents that chapter, you know, and they're really nice. They're really going to be a great blessing to the word there, you know. It's great. John also mentioned Keith Boyd that's real close there with him, and Keith's also working in our ministry. He has been taking a lot of the 80s and 90s old cassettes that we made back during that period, and he's got a really good method of cleaning them up to where you can really hear the sound, and he's editing them and fixing them up to put them on the site. These are, of course, some that's never been put on the site. So he's working hard at that, and I think he just almost got through with the batch we sent him, and he's going to be working on some of the 90s audios to clean them up so that we can actually make panoramic programs out of them, because they're good teaching series is in there. So praise God. The Lord has sent us an awful lot of really talented, blessed people, you know, devoted people to the Lord, you know, and it's just really been a real sign from God, you know, a confirmation from God that He's in all this, and we just give thanks unto Him. Hey, Bill, do you want to share a testimony? Bill, I think, brought something with him and that he was involved with that he wants to share.
I got to do about five things at once over here.
Okay, if you're too busy, I'll jump over you and do something else.
No, I'll get it. Just
okay.
Just keep on talking.
You want to give Gerard a chance while you're doing that?
Oh, I'll get it here in just a second.
Okay.
I just don't want to have what they call that blank broadcast silence. Not good.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. I guess the first testimony I'm going to do is from... Katie had, it's dealing with the dryer. No, Doris. I'm sorry, Doris. Kaylee is her daughter. Wanted, dryer healed and will last until we do not need one anymore. Amen. Doris says, hi, brothers and sisters. We have a praise report while in Curtis's UBBS 11 Bread Bible Study Sons of God room after communion today. After some wonderful fellowshipping, I asked for prayer for our clothes dryer. The motor has gone out. Curtis prayed, and all in the room stood in agreement. Kaylee and I laid hands on the dryer, and once the prayer ended, I touched the button, and the dryer came right on. Praise God. He is faithful. God bless all of you for praying for us and gathering with us. Love, Doris and Kaylee. And
neat. Praise the Lord. That's Doris Zambrano, right?
I'm not sure. I just...
Thank you, Lord.
And then you were mentioning before the Bible study how people are really stepping out in faith and...
Getting that neat.
And just...
I love to see that. Mm-hmm. God's people stepping out and taking their authority and taking their inheritance. Glory to God.
Okay. And then being on the prayer team, we get a lot of prayer requests, and this is a testimony in reference to a prayer request that I got. Sometimes these little things in our lives seem little, but a lot of people choose to do battle with these small things, and Darlene had chose to do battle with a cough. And what seemingly was a small request turned out to be a great testimony. She says, I have a prayer need for healing of a nasty cough. We've just listened to David's teaching on escaping the curse, and I'm believing Psalm 103 for healing physically, and Psalm 27, 1 through 5 for healing of fear. You see, I work in the medical field, and all around me, the need for doctors is spoken. Well, that's true. As you ever work around in the medical field, around doctors and nurses and whatever, they're all afraid of all those little nasty germs and everything, and they're just, you know, they're always thinking that something's going to get them. And because they do fear that something does get them sooner or later. But so I want to be purged of the old leaven, like in Corinthians 5:7. If you could agree with Phil and I, he has anointed me with oil, binding principalities and infirmities, praying the blood of Jesus over me. If there is any other insights from you, we'd appreciate it. I will be going to the medical office tomorrow, and I want to be healed to give God all the glory. Thank you for your time. Blessing to you, Darlene. And then my objective when I answer prayer is to not just answer their prayer or just pray for them, but I like to give them the tools to do battle. And the tools that we have in the scripture is the promises that we were delivered from the curse. So I always give them the scripture that will help boost their faith. And also, if I can, I give them a testimony of my own. And I just told her that the word applies to all those who believe. And we are believers, so the Bibles were written for us who believe, not for the pagans, but it was written for the Christians who believe. And when the word says, by his stripes you were healed, the promise is yours when you act upon it by faith. It is really that simple. We are saved by grace through faith, and faith without works is dead. Your works is being proactive concerning the word. I speak for what I have personally experienced in my life concerning miracles by faith. The first time I stepped out in faith was when my wife suffered another anxiety attack. We were in the process of moving, and my wife was already stressed. My father-in-law, her father, lives with us. He was making some demands upon her, and she became hysterical and ran into the bedroom. I followed in after her and was led to place my hands on her face and command the demon of anxiety to loose her in the name of Jesus Christ. And this was one of the first times I ever did that. You know, sometimes the Lord just puts on your heart to just, okay, now's the time. Okay, go for it. And I did, because that was a situation where I was, man, I can't deal with this. So I couldn't. So only Jesus Christ could deal with it. So I said, up to this time, I had never had the faith to do such a thing, and even then, I didn't have full confidence that it would work. And the important thing is, I stepped out in faith, believing in the Word and believing that all demons are subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. So it was the faith that I had in Jesus Christ and the faith that I had in His name, because I knew His name has power over everything and was nothing of me, but just the fact that I had faith in Jesus Christ. As soon as the words "in the name of Jesus Christ" came out of my mouth, the demon was gone. I mean, it was instantly gone. As soon as I said that, Jesus Christ, my whole wife's countenance changed, and she was immediately relieved of this demon. And she was instantly recovered from her anxiety. My wife placed her hands on mine, looked in my eyes, and commented on the warmth of my hands. And I didn't even realize how warm my hands were until she mentioned it. And that's just the power of the Holy Spirit. And how it just kind of warms things up. And needless to say, I was extremely amazed. I shouldn't have been amazed, but boy, I was. And I always figured, who am I that our Father is mindful of me? But it is not me our Father is mindful of, but my faith in His Word, His Son Jesus Christ, and my confession to hold fast to the hope or firm expectation that our Father is faithful to His promise. And that's Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope that waver not, for He is faithful that promised. And He is. I told her I'm nobody special. I've never been a man of tremendous faith. I'm 50 years old and didn't come out of the Catholic Church until I was about 38 years old. And extent of my faith was I believed in God and His Son Jesus Christ. Also, I had been attending David's Bible study for almost 5 years before I finally figured all this out and stepped out in faith to lay hands on my wife. Another reason I was amazed by personally witnessing the power and authority of Jesus Christ, it took me almost 5 years to finally step out in faith, and I could have witnessed this miracle 5 minutes after I believed the Word. So you don't have to wait 5 years. Once you hear it and believe it, just step out in faith and walk in it. We are considered righteous by faith, not manifestation, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can go boldly before the throne of our Father and seek His kingdom. Seek first His kingdom. The only secret is believing that the promises of our Father made apply to those who believe. And that's Corinthians 1:18. But as God is faithful, our word towards you is not nay and yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him is yea. For how many soever be the promises of God, in him is the yea. Wherefore, also through him is the amen unto the glory of God through us. Putting aside our feeling, this is my writing again, putting aside our feelings of doubt and unbelief, the flesh, believe the word. Let God be true and every man a liar. And in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. And that's the definition of faith. We step out in faith, we believe that which is not as though it is. Even though we don't see it, we believe it was already done at the cross. And that's 1 Peter 2:24. Who His own self bare our sins in His body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. When we pray, we believe and act as though it is done. Matthew 18:18, verily I say unto you, what things soever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. And verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then Mark 11:23, verily I say unto you, what whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, shall believe that believe what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when I stepped out in faith to cast that demon out of my wife, that was a mountain. It doesn't have to be a physical mountain. It was a spiritual mountain, and it might as well have been a mountain, because, you know, I know I couldn't have done it. So it was, all I had to do was push, and God did the rest. I just have to have enough faith to push. And then there is always going to be trials of our faith. When we step out in faith, we can't be wishy-washy. We must be steadfast in our faith. And when we overcome one trial, there is always one right around the corner. So just because you go overcome one trial doesn't mean it's all over. That just means that now you've got a track record, and now your faith is enough. The faith that you have is enough to get you by the next trial come around the corner. And that means growing in faith. But every time we walk by faith, that walk becomes easier and easier. At least it has been with me. I mean, every trial I come across, it's just easier to overcome, because now I have even more and more faith. Sometimes our prayers are answered immediately, as with my wife's anxiety. Sometimes it takes 12 days or longer. When I was a paramedic, I gave one of my patients the wrong medication. She went into respiratory arrest, then cardiac arrest. I did CPR en route to the emergency room. We got her heart pumping again in the ER, but she remained on a ventilator. From my experience as a paramedic, I would have rated her situation as very serious and her chances of survival as slim and chances of a full recovery as zero. David and I prayed concerning the patient. We prayed that she would walk out of that hospital without any deficits. I received news from my supervisor 12 days later. She had walked out of the hospital. It was a tough 12 days, but I put aside my feelings, my doubt, and held fast to the confession of my hope that it wavered not. For I believed that he is faithful that promised. When I prayed with David, I prayed the night it happened, and I came over to David's house the next day. And I wasn't feeling very well, and I had many, many doubts. And David asked me a real straightforward question. He says, of these scriptures I just read you, Mark 11:24, Matthew 18:18, what about it, them, don't you believe or understand? And I said, well, I understand them and I believe them. And David said, well, that's all it takes. That's it. Just believe it, and it'll be done. And he says, in a couple of weeks, it'll all be over. Well, it wasn't quite 2 weeks. It was 12 days. So, by our Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the teachings David has imparted to me, I have witnessed victory after victory over the curse. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, Jesus Christ, in us, the hope of glory, old things have passed away. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. The curse, demons, sickness, generational curses, sin are passed away. The qualifier is giving up willful sin and any unforgiveness in our lives. Forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration is the high and narrow road. Praise our Father. We don't walk that high road in the flesh, but in the Spirit through His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for having mercy on Darlene. And then I went into a prayer for her. And then she came back to me. Bill, I just wanted to let you know the results of your prayers and my faith. April 8th was a real spiritual warfare night, praying me through choking sensations. So Monday I went to work by faith, knowing Jesus' blood was giving me victory. Each day kept getting easier as I walked by faith. So as of today, I'm still coughing slightly, but I know my God was my all-sufficiency as I worked. Thank You for Your prayers. I've sensed the new aspect of the blood of Jesus, sometimes instant healing, and like Your story, sometimes it's a daily, inch-by-inch walk. Thank You for being available for prayers, and Your quick response was comforting. May God continue to bless you as You bless others, Darlene. And then I send her Praise Our Father. It works every time we put our faith to work. Faith without works is dead. What good is our faith if we don't use it? Many times we think that our Father is not true to His word when our prayers are not answered, but it is the trial of our faith that we lose. Our lack of patience and ability to suffer a short while is the problem. And then she came back and says, I want to give you another praise report, walking out by faith, but realizing the enemy's tactics. I had been preparing to sing with a National Day of Prayer community choir, and the cough started 4 weeks before May 3rd. So for 3 weeks I went to practices, but couldn't sing without coughing, so I listened and learned. I spent much time in prayer as I prepared for the 22 songs we were to sing. Well, May 3rd came and I felt better, but during the first song I felt the cough coming again. I rebuked it and said, Lord, I have come here to sing my praises to you, not lip sync. I took a sip of water, and the next 21 songs I had no cough. Praise the Lord. I know God knew I was serious, which overruled the enemy's tactics. So as you reminded me, sometimes we get a healing inch by inch. So I have a testimony to share of God's greatness. Thanks for the role you play. God's richest blessings to you as you serve, Darlene. And I told her this is a perfect example of how we are to take the promised land. What the eyes see are giants in the land. What we believe is the promise. The promise says, by his stripes you were healed. What we see is singing 22 songs with a cough. The decision is, in whom do we trust, our Father or our flesh? As long as we place our eyes on Jesus Christ, our Father claims, for how many soever the promises of God in him is the yea, wherefore also through him is the amen. And then I asked her if we could use specific testimony and post it on the site, and she said yes. And that's the testimony.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? That's neat when people can encourage one another. I tell you, if you're out there by yourself, you need to find a prayer partner, you know, somebody that can encourage you in the Lord and you them, and just lift each other up and encourage each other with the Word. And most of all, as we're seeing tonight, many people are just stepping out to take the authority and fight the spiritual warfare and to demand their inheritance. You know, the devil wants to keep you from your inheritance and from the authority and the gifts and the blessings that the Lord Jesus gave unto you. And praise be to God. You know, I can see that many, many people now are beginning to stretch forth their faith. And folks, you're going to shake this world. I'm telling you, in the next little while, you and your faith are going to shake this world. So just take the authority Jesus gave you and run with it, right? Praise be to God. Brother Gerard over there, I think he has something to share.
Amen.
And then I got something to share too.
Bless you, brothers, sisters. It's always a privilege and honor to speak with the family. I love each and every one of you. I speak peace in your homes. It's a powerful thing to understand how we we're in our kingdom, brethren, and it's the Antichrist that has to leave. Of course, leaving many different ways as people come to the Lord. As we move forward in faith, he has no choice but to leave. And so as we walk in obedience, it's just amazing. It's breathtaking, you know, and the confirmations, the wonderful thing that God is sovereign, you know, when we decrease, that he may increase, in our lives. And through that, the kingdom is, expanded. And Brother Kevin, you know, it's a blessing to meet with these gentlemen tonight. Didn't have the opportunity to get over to Bob's yesterday. I was over and working some things in the Capitol, and but Kevin, when I met him this tonight, he said, you know, he says, I'm from Connecticut, and you know, it's just the Lord is hilarious how he does these things just to open doors and make things just wonderful in your life, you know, out of nowhere, right? That he said he was from South Windsor, Connecticut, correct? South Windsor, right? And so I was saying, you know, as we grew up, our family had a large corporation, school bus corporation, that encompassed three states, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, and that was one of the towns, you know, so it just brought back a time of remembrance for myself. And certainly a different time, you know,
walking in the natural, as the old man walked, you know, and who could believe that Brother Kevin and myself are here tonight, speaking as oracles of God to all of us, as you know, we're walking out our own Book of Acts. You know, I knew when the gentleman came in, it was just the spirit came in the room, you know, of the fruits that come along with the spirit, right? Love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and kindness came in the room also, you know. And so I just want to say that, you know, and I'm sensing as the Lord is stretching the tent pegs in my own walk within the ministry, also expanding into areas now recently of people that are he is allowing doors to be open to talk to a group of people, a certain group. As it's changing, it's amazing. Now the Vietnamese, the Koreans, the Filipinos, the Chinese, all these people from different lands, different walks, certainly from a different religious realm, all of a sudden the Lord is placing me in their lives, and very quickly, and not only with them here in the States, but projecting quickly into their homelands. How this is done, don't know, but I know, as Philip was saying, you know, when we seek first the kingdom, the Lord said, I came as an example, right? If we're obedient to the word and we follow his example, as he said, and as my brother said, you know, getting rid of his home and getting out of debt, you know, seeking first the kingdom, right? And everything that we need will come along that will glorify the Father, that will enhance the walk that he's prepared us for, not for our own selfishness, but the things for the kingdoms, the things that are going to enhance the advancement of the kingdom. And so that's what we're talking about. He said, you know, I came as the example. He came on the donkey colt. He didn't come on the white camel full of gold in the palace, right? So everything, washing your disciples' feet. So this is what you are to do also, you know. So as I'm seeing these things, as we keep our eyes on the kingdom, time and finances, all these things, you can't keep track of them. Who wants to keep track of them? When you're walking in the promises of Christ, when you're walking in the kingdom, you're not concerned with those things. You know, the word says that tomorrow, if allowed, will bring its own problems. You know, don't be thinking about what tomorrow and the problem that it's going to bring. Believe it, that there's going to be problems here in the world, problems with the humans, you know. But as I'm thinking, and as all the brothers are talking, I'm seeing this man-child ministry coming together. Prophetically, I'm seeing it rearranged, I'm seeing it orchestrated, and I'm seeing it moving very quickly throughout the world. And we know through many means, through the PAL talk, through the radio, through the television, all these things, through word of mouth. And I'm seeing all these things are coming together now, including myself, that don't even remember. The Lord brought me back to the United States, brought me here to Florida, introduced me to Brother Dave. I remember the initial meeting, prayer up by Deer Lake, I think it was, at a bonfire, right? But all these things now, end of the church dispensation, right? And the year 2000, 2001, you're listening how each of the brothers are speaking. My brother said that he was pretty much dormant since 1980. In the religious realm, but the Lord put a shaking upon his life, and here we are, my own life also, coming back, being introduced to the Unleavened Bread Ministry, same time, 2001, 2002, 2003, that time frame. God is quickly changing things, quickly moving things around. I'm seeing, as I speak to different people in parts of the world, still in the mainstream denominations, that they're not willing and they're not ready to accept the revelation that God has given that he's pouring out now, pouring out through Brother Dave, through many other teachers around the world. They're not willing to accept it and immediately bucking against it. And so I'm seeing as this man-child ministry is being orchestrated now in the morning of the third day. And so it's just amazing to see God working sovereignly. He's working now as he's bringing brothers and sisters and families together. I'm seeing the ladies, how God is moving in their lives and allowing them to be humble, submissive to their husband, because he's arranging them for the task that they have. They have a huge, huge task. You ladies, you sisters out there, that God is rearranging and setting the course before you, taking care of the children, taking care of the household. All these things are a huge responsibility that is going to be put on your shoulders. And I just see that gearing up in the wives of the ministries, of the individuals that that are walking truly in the kingdom and kingdom dynamics, that he's placing this in your hearts and he's getting you ready. Every helper, every wife and every man that he's put together, that the two have become one, right? That is standing behind her husband, standing behind the head, saying, "Go, go, we can do it. I know you can do it." Standing behind your husband, standing behind the household, rearranging all these things. I see that. So I want to share that with you ladies, that it's a massive task, taking care of the families, taking care of the children, orchestrating all these things that the Lord is going to give you, and has given you responsibility, and these up and coming days is going to be, a huge task. So, I just speak a blessing, of love and a blessing of wisdom and discernment for you wonderful women of God out there that are a part of this ministry. So I just felt that. I wanted to share that the Lord is showing me these times and even how he's branching me out in the ministry, out of the ministry, using that Sovereign God book. Certainly the cultures now being involved in the immigration, learning things of that. Lawyers that are coming together out of nowhere. The Latin culture that's been a part from the beginning for myself as ministry, down to Central America, Mexico, this area, now with brothers, sisters coming from El Salvador, from the Dominican Republic, from Puerto Rico, certainly from Mexico, from Honduras, from Brazil, all these things out of nowhere. Now these men and their wives and families are working for me at the company that I work for. So transferring back and forth visas and things like this. But through that, they're getting the opportunity, and the Lord is providing them with a Bible, English and Spanish version. And I want to speak a blessing, a spiritual blessing, financial blessing, Father, in the name of Jesus, upon my brother working on the book, Lord, that you're allowing him peace and you're allowing him finances, you're allowing him to have rest and the doors opening, Lord, for your book, Sovereign God, in the Spanish language, Father, and just the diligence and the hard work. Give my brother rest and peace, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, brother, hold true to the word that God has given you. Stay to the mark. Stay to the call, the race that he's allowing you to transfer from English to Spanish. This book, Sovereign God, it's going to be monumental. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many people are waiting for this thing to come out just in the area of my own life. Different churches, different ministers are excited about this. You know, they're limited, their speech is limited in English, but in Spanish, it's going to be taken off. So, bless everyone, love you, and I'm going to turn the mic over to Brother Dave.
All right. Thank you, Gerard. And, I agree with you 100% there, Gerard, and blessing our sisters out there. I tell you what, they are really stepping forward and exercising their faith and exercising dominion over the devil. And matter of fact, I've got a testimony right here that's an awesome testimony. You heard just tiny bits of it here in the last couple of weeks, but I got the whole story here, and I tell you, the whole story is real good, and I'd like to share it with you. It'll encourage you. And this is about April Selensky and her son being delivered from autism. It's an awesome testimony. So listen just a minute. April starts out with a verse from Isaiah 54:11. It says, "O afflicted one, storm-tossed, and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires." Well, that's if you were to read this whole testimony, you'd say, yep, she certainly was afflicted and storm-tossed, and God certainly brought her through in sapphires. It's just awesome. You know, listen to this. "I would like to describe the amazing year of provision and miracles my family and I have experienced, including financial provision and my son's deliverance from autism. I am going to be as honest as possible about my own doubts, weaknesses, and trials during that time so that you can be encouraged that his strength is sufficient. Many times I just wanted to give up, but the Lord always strengthened me. Autism is a devastating neurological disability that strikes one out of 166 children in America. Autism and related disorders are diagnosed when the child exhibits deficits in the following areas: social interaction, communication, play skills, or self-help skills. Our son began displaying these symptoms at the age of 20 months, starting the summer of 2003. Sasha used to line up blocks and toys for hours at a time. He was unable to play with toys appropriately. Instead of playing with a car, he would just sit and spin the wheels. He showed little interest in other people and had a serious, withdrawn expression on his face. He would scream for hours a day, particularly around mealtimes and frequently in public. He would scream for hours a day and was extremely rigid in his routines. My worst fears confirmed. Sasha was diagnosed with autism on 10-12 of 03 by a developmental pediatrician, and this evaluation was confirmed in 12 of 03 at Children's Hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He had been in speech therapy in 2002 and 2003 in Fairfax County, Virginia, and was diagnosed with a developmental delay by the Fairfax County Child Find in 2003. My son was in speech therapy, occupational therapy, food aversion therapy, and preschool special ed in 2003 and 2004. From 2004 to 2005, he was in speech therapy and homeschooled. He was rediagnosed with autism in 2005 by the Minnesota Autism Center. During this period, I consumed with worry and fear, devoting every bit of energy I had to recover, quote, our son from autism. This included following a strict gluten-free, dairy-free diet, intensive vitamin supplementation, and becoming an ABA, that's Applied Behavioral Analysis Therapist. The conflicting theories and treatments, not to mention enormous expense, made choosing a proper course of treatment very difficult. I remember crying out to the Lord in desperation and exhaustion. He would always give me energy and comfort during those times. But with two toddlers and a third on the way, I was really overwhelmed. Interestingly, three separate people between 2003 and 2006 prophesied that God was going to heal my son. But I never received those words. My belief at that time regarding healing was pray, 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 hope it's God's will, and do everything possible by your own strength to effect healing. In the fall of 2006, God brought to my remembrance those three prophetic words and the fact that I disbelieved. I was also learning about faith and the real, full gospel, about Jesus taking the curse so that we don't have to if we're walking in Him. The Lord had already taught me to stand on His word with certain aspects of parenting, especially discipline, instead of the conflicting views of Christian authors. And I had seen a fruit of peace in my children. So I was learning to stand on His word despite all opinions of man and my own feelings. I began to search the word, particularly the Gospels, to confirm whether healing and faith were really enough and for today. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I found that the word is clear. God is the same. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, amen to that, sister. I tell you, there's so many people have bought that lie. You know, that the Lord doesn't deal with us like He did in the beginning, you know, and that these things all passed away and we can't really trust in Him. We just have to ask, if it be thy will. Find out how much you get from God if you do that and you don't read the Bible and believe what is His will. What the Bible clearly says is His will. Okay? She goes on, I read that Jesus healed all who came to Him believing. It was as simple as that. That began a new revelation of the real, full gospel. And it is truly good news. Gradually, the Lord delivering me of religious tradition and doctrines of men, I sat under solid teaching through the ministry of UBM and a faithful brother who sent me an MP3 player and UBS Bible studies. I also read many testimonies of healing on the internet. On November the 23rd, 2006, the brethren prayed for me during the UBS Bible study. I was filled with unspeakable joy as the horrible burden lifted off of me. I felt a firm faith at that moment that my son was healed at the cross and the autism would soon be gone. Immediately, I threw out my son's extensive collection of nutritional supplements and discontinued the gluten-free, dairy-free diet. This was not without family opposition, but after some surprise, people went along with the new game plan. Within a day or so, it was obvious that his food allergies were gone. Can you imagine, folks, what could have effected this? You know, first of all, beginning to believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and then giving up salvation by your own works, right? That act of faith whereby you give up trusting in the arm of the flesh. You know, faith without works is dead. You have to believe, and then you act on that belief. Not just in the mind, folks. It's in the actions. Faith without works is dead. So she acted. She decided that since her son was healed, she didn't need to try to get healing. So she said it was obvious that his food allergies were gone. All the struggles gone. Jesus gave it for nothing. Isn't that something? He gave it free. She says in the past, if Sasha even ate a drop of gluten, which is the protein in wheat and many other grains, he would have a negative reaction immediately. He'd have dark circles under his eyes, have horrible screaming fits, and become generally uncontrollable. When I gave Sasha bread and yogurt for the first time, I told him, "You can eat it now. Jesus made you better." At first, Sasha was worried. He asked, "Does this make me sick?" I said, "No, honey, Jesus made you better." My son literally leapt for joy and did a twirl of praise, and he repeated over and over, "Jesus made me better." Praise the Lord. For a mom who knows the intestinal damage gluten will do to a child with a leaky gut, I was utterly convinced that the Lord had healed him. And it would have been dangerous and cruel to my child had I not been firmly standing on the Lord's promises. I rested in the idea that even if somehow I was wrong, Jesus loved my son even more than I did, and that if I was in error, he would save my son and teach me what was right. It was that belief in the goodness of God and his love for my child that really kept me going when my faith wavered, and I became double-minded and doubtful. It's true, folks. You know, we were talking about this the other day. You know, that God's not going to hold you to a rigid, you know, sense of steps that you have to take, so on and so forth. You can even make a mistake that, in your terminology, you know, and God's still going to come through. It's the faith that counts, you know. So God's not as legalistic as a lot of folks think. You know, he just wants your faith. You know, we talk about healing machinery and things like that. Well, that terminology is not quite biblical, I guess you can imagine, you know, but we know what it means in our mind. You know, when we pray for it to be healed, we mean God will fix it. Whatever the problem is, he's going to fix it. And you know what? God just keeps on answering that prayer. People have, I guess, picked that up for me and prayed over things to be healed. And you know what? God just keeps answering their prayers. He's still healing it. The terminology, God's not hung up on the terminology. He just wants the faith. That's all. And, you know, she believed in the goodness of God. She believed that even if she was a little wrong in what she was thinking, that the Lord was going to save her son. And he did. Many doubts and fears assailed me during this time. Fear of being in a cult, doubt, fear of hurting my child, fear of not looking like I was given my son proper treatment, and it was a tough battle to believe. I repented of unbelief and double-mindedness many times and asked the Lord to give me faith. James 1:5, "But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." Amen. So cast down your double-mindedness, folks. Cast it down. Any thought that's contrary to what the Word of God says, cast it down. 2 Corinthians 10:5, just cast it down. If you let it in, it will rob you of your inheritance through Jesus Christ. April goes on, she says, "During this time, God revealed to me many areas of sin and disobedience, including submission to my husband, unforgiveness, and having judgmental and critical spirits. I also received a revelation of God's grace and how big and wonderful it is. He showed me to give grace to unbelievers because without God's grace to grant me repentance, I would be captive to sin and the same behaviors." Amen. Don't judge those that are without, the Lord says, you know. The Lord also quickened the following verse to me, Isaiah 58:3. "Why have we fasted, and you do not see? And why have we humbled ourselves, and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire." God also showed me verses in the Word that were basically saying I had served him for my own pleasure, and I had the feeling of being justified, and even with an overachieving competitiveness, that was based not in love for him, but to obtain things for myself. A feeling of justification, friendship, belonging, and achievement. Well, amen. You know what, folks? The Lord knows when we come to him, there's a lot of things wrong with this, and he's very, very merciful. And he just shows us a little bit at a time, you know, and we deal with it. If we justify ourselves, we lose ground, you know. But if we deal with it when he shows us, well, he will continue to bless us. Even though he sees many things that are wrong in our life, he doesn't account them or impute that as sin to us. You know, thank God. You know, he sees the whole thing and he sees very well, but he doesn't impute sin to us. But as he starts showing things to us and we begin to walk in it, he continues to account us as righteous. So you may not be perfect, but if you will believe, just like the examples in the Gospels, that the Lord Jesus loves you and he wants to meet your need, if you will do that, God will meet you there. So the months and weeks went on, and autistic symptoms would flare up. I rebuked rage in the name of Jesus, and it left him immediately. Yet still, the complete recovery was not entirely manifest. I began to despair that I was not saved or a believer myself. I would read testimonies and feel jealous. And what was wrong? Was I believing with my mind, a mental assent, rather than a true God-given faith? My husband said one day, "Our son is autistic." I confessed, "No, he's not. He's healed." I believe this was a test from God, because on other occasions, my husband would confess that our son was not autistic. I was also seized with an urgency, to be sure I knew the real Jesus, not a Jesus concocted by various religious doctrines, my own interpretation, and whatever else. Several dreams were given to people about people following false Jesuses, and I took this very seriously. Almost immediately after claiming Sasha's healing, I received word that we had been awarded a scholarship for Sasha to have an expensive autism therapy. Wow, how many times does that happen, folks? I mean, you start trusting God and all of a sudden the world offers you their way. You know, there's an intelligent being behind all of this temptation. You know, and you need to know your enemy, right? She says, "It seemed to me that this was a test like with Abraham and Hagar. Was I going to wait for the Lord to fulfill his word, or seeking healing by my own efforts?" Several of the brethren also agreed that it was a test of faith and to hold on to the word. So it's always good to have some folks encouraging you, right? To hold on to the word, you know. So I did not use the funds, but I did not contact the coordinator either to deny the scholarship. It just sat there unused, almost like a plan B. Recently, I was convicted to return the scholarship and close that door completely, which I did do in April of 2007. Notice that, folks. Burn your bridges behind you. You know, a lot of people are not going to do that. They got plan B back there somewhere, you know. Well, that's not faith. You know, so the Lord demanded that she get rid of plan B before he manifested this answer. As I shared my struggles with brothers and sisters on Pal Talk in Curtis Hughes' room, various people would encourage me, pray for me, and one faithful brother, Ross, fasted for my son for 24 hours. His son had been healed of autism too, and he encouraged me to hold firm to the faith. And Rory Moore also emailed me to hold on to the Lord. These contacts, albeit through the internet with people I have never met, were such a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Encourage one another, folks. Encourage one another to hold fast and to hold fast to the Word and confess the Word. During this time, my family was granted an awesome provision that really built up my faith. God gave us a trailer home, rent and mortgage free, as living on the grounds of a local public school working 30 minutes a day. No one I know has ever heard of this position. Apparently, they almost never come open. People frequently stay in these homes as long as 20 years and even pass them down to their children. God's provision was so perfect. We had been in a two-bedroom rental and needed a larger place to accommodate our growing family since I was pregnant with our fourth child. However, my husband had just started a four-year electrician's apprenticeship, where you learn on the job for low wages before becoming licensed. Just a few weeks prior, my husband was saying, "We are completely broke, and this rental is way too expensive for us." It seemed pretty hopeless, but then the Lord provided in a way I could never have imagined. At this time, we had no savings, but were given $12,000 as a gift. The landlord allowed us to break our lease 6 months early, and we found subtenants. The interview process went well, but then unexpectedly things began to drag out weeks longer than we thought it would. And after about 6 weeks, near the end of January, we had no money for rent and were anxiously awaiting to hear if we got the job and the house. I told my husband, "The Lord will give it to us. He will provide." And my normally patient husband asked, "But what's plan B?" He was exasperated with my seeming impracticality. "We don't need one. God will provide for us," I said. "But that's not a plan," he would say. I showed him verses that showed God's loving care of his children and began to feel a peace that God would indeed provide for us miraculously. In Matthew 7, 9 through 11, it says, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Amen. Thank you, Father. Then on January the 31st, at around 12:30 p.m., I felt a release in my spirit, a sense that the battle was over. I told a friend on the phone, "I'm going to start packing by faith." Amen. You see, they're acting on your faith, right? I remember one time we moved like that. We had to move across town, and actually we had a big house trailer at that time. We had to move it across town, and we didn't have the money to pay the guy that was moving the thing. And right when it got moved, I think Mary's aunt, who had died maybe a year and something before this, and everything was all tied up in court, all the things that her aunt was going to pass on to her. And all of a sudden, we didn't know a thing about it. We just acted on faith, and all of a sudden, she was sent a check that day, you know, and it covered what we needed to do. And that's something. The Lord's the Lord doesn't dwell in time. He's out there when we get there. He's out there ahead of us. And you think that it's too late. It's too late for me to pray. God could never do anything in this short amount of time. The thing is, He's out there ahead of you. He knows your prayer before you pray it. And so, just trust in the Lord, folks. So she started packing by faith. Went to the supermarket and picked up a carload of boxes and began to pack. Several hours later, the phone rang. We got it. The house and the job. Praise God. As soon as I acted on faith, it came through, right? That's the only thing holding things up sometimes, folks, is casting down those imaginations and acting on our faith, acting on the Word of God. Now we are living in a cozy three-bedroom with a fence in the front and backyard that's cute and perfect for our family. Praise God. Nothing is impossible for Him. He is a good Father. Amen. I continued to walk by faith for my son's complete deliverance from autism, but at times it seemed that the symptoms would reappear. I felt so insecure. What was I doing wrong? See, well, that's the first thing that you're doing wrong a lot of times is that you think you're doing something wrong, so you're not getting an answer, right? The devil always tells you you're doing something wrong. But like I was saying a while ago, the Lord is not really hung up on these little technicalities here. He just wants you to keep on believing, right? On May the 2nd, I IM'd a question to Brother Bill, the moderator in the UBM Pal Talk room, and mentioned waiting for my son's healing to be fully manifest. He asked me a question that I knew was from the Lord. "Have you commanded the demons to leave in Jesus' name?" he asked. "No," I said. He then conferred with David, who said that I should lay hands on my son and cast out all the demons, as there may be a legion, you know. While I was doing this, David was commanding the demons to come out in the name of Jesus live on the UBBS program, as the brethren on the radio and internet were agreeing with us. Well, praise God. So that's what happened. At that moment, the Lord gave me an indescribable joy and peace. I was dancing and singing and praising Him in my living room. I was so excited I barely slept for the whole night. I learned later that Bill had a vision of demons leaving my son as he drove home that night. Well, now for the results. Okay, May the 3rd, 2007. It is apparent to me that Sasha's healing was accelerated dramatically. Within a few days, it is clear that manifestly Sasha is healed and delivered from autism. Specifically, I notice big improvements in language. He's using complete sentences with proper syntax. Big improvement in mood. His expression is happy and clear. Social skills. Sasha is very cheerful and plays cooperatively with his siblings. He is engaged in appropriate play, including pretend play, reading, coloring. He shows me things that he is doing and asks me to participate with him. Self-help. No potty accidents since. I had been potty training him for 2 years with many, many accidents. He gets dressed by himself. The food intolerances to dairy and gluten are gone. The temper tantrums are gone. Rage is gone. We are trying new foods. In addition, Sasha reads, writes, and cuts with scissors well. He likes to ride his bike with his brother, Jonah, and was learning to hit a tennis ball with his dad a few days ago. I did not have to make any adjustments for his learning style or character. He will clean up and participate with chores when he's asked. He is obedient to his parents. My son no longer fits the criteria for diagnosis of autism, PDD, or any disorder on the autism spectrum. This healing and deliverance was done by Jesus, and no man or method can take credit for it. Amen. And he is set free by the blood of Jesus. The gratitude and joy I feel is hard to express. I just want to sing songs to God all day long. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. John 9, 2 and 3. His disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who did sin, this one or his parents, that he should be born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither did this one sin nor his parents, but that the words of God may be manifested in him." 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed." And Matthew 9:28, "And when he had come into the house, the blind men came unto him. And Jesus said unto them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, Lord." Praise the Lord. Isn't that a great testimony? A great battle, but, you know, you don't get great victories without a great battle. Some people don't want to fight, you know, and you have to fight. If you're not going to fight, you're going to lose, right? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. We are taking violently in the spirit realm from the devil those things that we have received as an inheritance through Jesus Christ. And April learned some really good lessons through this, and it's a great testimony here. And a lot of people learn good lessons. I'm really encouraged to watch people begin to walk in as sons of God, walk in the Spirit. You know how it is to walk in the Spirit? It's not to give in to your flesh, not to give in to your senses, not to give in to sight or to touch or feeling or the thoughts that the devil fires into your mind. You know, walk in the Spirit. Believe what the Word of God says. Glory to God. God is so faithful, so faithful. We just need to continue to put our trust in Him, folks. Praise be to God. Don't you love these testimonies? Don't they encourage you? Don't they put faith in your heart, you know? Now, you know, as April was saying here, she hadn't been doing this all that long, you know? You don't have to be somebody who is, quote, mature in the Lord, been walking in the Lord for 20 years, a brand new Christian, baby Christian, who believes the Word of God. That's all that's necessary, folks. And, you know, as she pointed out, you know, she was having to put down doubts and fears and double-mindedness. You know, it's not yours. If you put it down when the thought comes in, instead of give into it and act upon it or think upon it and speak upon it, it's not yours. You haven't failed. You know, she quoted the verse about the double-minded man. Well, you know what? You hear those thoughts in your mind all the time, but you don't have to accept them as yours. You can just cast them down. So, you know, she overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of her testimony, right? And because she loved not her life unto death. Isn't that the reason we all are going to conquer the devil partake of the benefits of the kingdom and the inheritance that Jesus has given unto us? You have to fight. And if you're not going to fight, you're going to lose. God is so faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, you're listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. For information and materials, you can go to our site, americaslastdays.com. And we are being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM, 89.9 FM, 103.7 FM on most of these stations. We're being broadcast from Galaxy 25 Satellite. Transponder 16 at 11.966 gigahertz. And Galaxy 25 is, its footprint is basically North America, Central America, all the way down to the northern part of South America. So, God bless you folks. Continue to please like this testimony. Encourage the brethren. You know, she needed encouragement at times, and the Lord sent her faithful brethren to put a word of encouragement in her heart. Remember that. You know, do that for one another, and encourage one another in the faith. The Lord is faithful, and we just need to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on life that's life indeed, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Well, I'm enjoying these testimonies today. I hope you are. You know, we've had some of the most fantastic miracles after just sharing testimonies with one another, either ours or someone else's. They encourage so many people to... I remember one time I had this cassette. I think it was the story of Betty Baxter. I don't know if y'all have ever heard Betty Baxter's story. I think it's on our site, matter of fact. This lady had so much wrong with her. She was just blessed to be alive, you know. So much wrong with her. So many things, so many diseases, so many, you know, organs shutting down and so on and so forth. And it was a testimony of the Lord coming into the room and just healing her as she, you know, began to speak and think and act by faith, you know. And I gave this cassette to a lady over in Louisiana that was kind of in the same shape. And, you know, she listened to that testimony and she said it out of her mouth. She said, well, if the Lord will do that for her, He'll do it for me. You know what? She got healed too. So your testimonies are powerful, folks. They encourage faith in people, you know. I mean, it's not just theology, you know. A lot of people, they don't actually hear these things happening. And so they read it in the Word, and they don't see it happening around them. They say, well, they're tempted to believe what the worldly Christian says, that these things have all passed away, you know. But when you start telling them, no, I believe it because it's experience with me. You know, it's not just theology. I believe it because this is what happened to me. See, so you wonder why you go through these terrible things sometimes, you know. April was wondering that too, and the devil was accusing her, and the devil was telling her that she's failed or doing something wrong or whatever. You wonder why you go through those things. Well, when you come out on the other side with a great testimony to share with people that will continue to go on and on and on, passed on by paper, passed on by internet, passed on by word of mouth, and continue to heal and deliver people, you don't wonder anymore, do you? You understand what God's purpose is. Can I share another one with you? This one is given to Lisa Miller. And it was all about a dislocated shoulder healed. This is a testimony to God's glorious ways and mercy. One day, a couple of months ago, I was doing my laundry. I felt a strange feeling in my arm. It had become difficult to lift it straight out and not at all above my head. It was not too painful, but it seemed as though I was losing use of my arm. And by the next day, my arm had become very sore. On the third day, it was in such pain that it was constantly reminding me just thinking about moving my arm. And on the fourth day, I was unable even to walk. The pain that came with the movement of my body was unbearable. I was telling my husband about the symptoms as he asked me how I was feeling. He asked me if I wanted him to look the symptoms up on the computer to determine what it might be. I told him that I did not want to know, that I wanted to just wait for the Lord to heal me. I agree with that. I don't want to know all the ins and outs, you know. You know, I had a friend years ago. He was a pharmacist and his wife was a nurse. And these were the hardest people to get a healing across to because their mind was all in the intricacies of what the problem could be, you know. And so they were always thinking on what the problem could be, you know, and what could they do to fix it, you know. So it was harder for them than most folks because they had this knowledge, you see. Now, me, I was just totally ignorant, and it really didn't matter to me. I just knew God was a healer, and I couldn't give you a term or a name or anything like that. You know, I couldn't even diagnose it, but it didn't make me any difference. I just believed God was a healer. So I learned from watching their lives, you know, that their knowledge about what the problem could be was not helpful. It wasn't helpful at all. It usually tempted them to get into the flesh to do something. And this wasn't always helpful at all. In fact, it blocks the Lord, you know. Well, Lisa goes on. She says, I prayed often. With every pain, I would cry out to Him. My husband, loving me much and wanting to take away my pain, went and looked up my symptoms. He came to me and told me that what he found sounded like my shoulder was dislocated. The pain grew and grew. I was couch bound. I only moved to use the restroom. I asked the Lord why this was happening to me. And he said to me, faith without opportunity to exercise it dies. Well, that's a good saying. I like that. Like the one, faith that fizzles out at the finish had a flaw in it from the first, right? Faith without opportunity to exercise it dies. Yes. So the Lord wants us to exercise our faith muscle, doesn't he? My husband, hearing my groaning and constant pain, grew weary himself. My husband is a loving man, and he knows that I desire to trust God in everything. He never suggested that I should go to the hospital, but he kept asking me what I wanted him to do. I said to him, "Honey, I just want to trust in God, but I know that it's hard for you to see me in this pain. If you want to say to me that you want me to go to the hospital, I will go." At first, he did not say. He instead looked into popping my arm back into its socket. He found all sorts of methods. My heart would fail at the idea of him even touching my arm. And he came to me and he said, "Lisa, let's try to put it in." And I agreed in tears. I had my son call my mom and ask her to read the Bible to me while he popped my arm in. I said to her, "Mom, I'm going to put you on the speakerphone, and I need you to read to me. If you hear me screaming, please read louder so that I can hear you." My husband helped me onto the floor, and he proceeded to do as the instructions said. The pain was horrendous. It was worse, I think, than having labor pains. And most of us know how painful that is. My mom asked me what I wanted her to read. I just told her, "Just open it. God will give me what I need." I never knew what she read to me, but all of what she read, out of all what she read, that one thing rang very loud to me as I prayed and screamed through my pain. That was that my children cry out to me in their trouble. Excuse me. That's that my children cry out to me in their trouble. Well, he could not pop it in. I cried and cried. There was no relief, no end to the pain. About 10 o'clock that night, he said to me, "If we're going to go to the emergency clinic, then we had better get going." I was exhausted, and thinking about a drive was hard. It was winter still, and I was unable to put enough clothes on to be covered well. I prayed to God, "God, let this glorify you, that I would obey my husband and that he might have comfort because he loves me so much and does not yet understand the need of these sufferings." He covered me with a blanket and helped me into the car, and we arrived at the clinic, and they took us in right away. The doctor came and wanted to move my arm all about. I permitted in tears and pain as she was feeling and pushing things around in my shoulder, she was asking me questions. I told her the pain started while I was folding clothes. She seemed baffled. She asked me if I had done any heavy lifting, and I told her no. And she asked me if I had injured my arm in the past, and I said no. So she said to me that she had determined that I had all the symptoms of my shoulder being dislocated, though she had never heard of one happening without a cause. She then told us that there was no x-ray machine there and she could not fully diagnose my arm and that she could not give me any narcotics to ease my pain because of the baby. She gave me instead a Motrin, which my husband had for him at home. He gave my husband a prescription for a stronger dose of Motrin and then charged us $150 for the office call. My husband was a bit upset that they had charged us, though they did not even diagnose what the problem was. Then we could not find a pharmacy open, so we just went home. That night, once again, I slept on the couch, sitting up with a heating pad on my shoulder. And I gave thanks to God for this opportunity and I knew that it was God's will that they could do nothing for me, and I went to sleep. And in the morning, my husband had gone off to work and picked up the prescription. But to his surprise, when he came home, I was up, vacuuming the floor, etc. He said to me, "What are you doing?" And I turned to him and said, "I am healed." And he said to me, "Wow, really?" Almost in disbelief. We took note of how the computer and the doctor gave a 6 to 8 week healing prognosis. But the Lord had healed me in 5 days. Praise God, I know that I was blessed because I trusted God and opened my husband and obeyed my husband. God's ways are not our ways until they are. Well, you know what, too? Sometimes God just waits till we come to the end of our efforts, come to the place where we really can't do anything else. I mean, God didn't part the Red Sea until Israel was all backed up there with Pharaoh coming in on the other side, right? Bad deal. Well, that's what happened here. You know, we have faith. We trust the Lord. But the devil keeps tempting us. He keeps tempting us to try this method, try that method. And all the time he's waiting for us to come to the end of ourselves. So those two things happened here. You know, both she was trusting in the Lord to bring an end to this, and they came to the end of their efforts. And nothing seemed to work out, did it? Nothing seemed to work out the other way. You know, the Lord does that quite often with us. He doesn't do it that way with the world. When you come to the Lord, folks, things are different. Once he shows you what he wants, the righteous shall live from faith. Once you come to understand what faith is and how it works, the world doesn't seem to work anymore. There's always some kind of a hindrance, some kind of a block, you know. And so I think the faith met the place where they entered into the rest from their own works, and there a miracle happened, you know. God restored, God healed, God blessed. Don't forget that. God's like that. I had an example like this in my own life many, many years ago. We just never went to doctors. We never went to medicine because God was faithful and we just put our trust in him. But this one time, my youngest daughter, Jennifer, was jumping on a trampoline with a bunch of bigger kids. And one of them landed on her leg and she couldn't walk. It was very painful. She tried to stand up on it. She couldn't walk. Just couldn't walk. And she tried it and she couldn't. So I prayed for her. And I just commanded her leg to be healed. We suspected it might have been fractured or something like that. You know, we didn't know. And so we prayed. I prayed the prayer of faith over her and commanded her to be healed. And she seemed to be all right, long as she didn't try to walk. So I just continued to trust in the Lord. Well, my wife, after a while, she got a little nervous, and she kept saying, "Well, David, I think her leg might be broken, you know." I said, "Well, it might be, but it don't make any difference. We prayed, and she's healed." So she came back at me a little while later, and she says, "David, I think I'd like to take her to doctor and get an x-ray." I says, "Well, you can take her if you want to, but they're not going to find anything because she's healed." And so she decided after a few more minutes she was going to do that. So she did. And she went over there. And even though my daughter couldn't stand on the leg, they x-rayed her. They checked her out. They said, "We can't find anything wrong with her." They sent her back. And so my wife told me, says, "They couldn't find anything wrong with her." I said, "She's healed. You know, I told you she was healed." You know. Well, after that was over, very quickly the healing came. You see, it was a trial. It was a trial to see what we were going to do, how we were going to react, or what we were going to do with the temptation. Because, you know, the Lord permits that temptation to come, and he permits it for a reason. He wants us to outlast the devil, folks. You know, he can come up with more reasons why you need to give up on God than you can think of, you know. And we have to go through that. You know, Jesus himself had to go through temptation, didn't he? He had to go through it. He had to be tempted. And he overcame by the word. You know, he didn't sit there benignly and let the devil attack him without slapping him with the Word of God, right? So he put the Word back on him. And glory to God, it works every time. You know, encourage yourself by swinging your sword. Don't sit on your sword. The Bible says, cursed is he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Swing your sword. And don't sit on it either. You know, you fight. And I'll tell you what, the devil will back off. Use the name of Jesus and fight. And the devil will back off. God is awesome, isn't he? God is awesome.